know that there's a lot of pressure to have this work done, but also we are having that study tour. I think that I would request you that please, when you find time, just ensure that you speak to those people. We're not left behind, because we are also informed that we're not the only committee that is going to India. I suspect that we're moving our National Assembly to India. I think it's about three committees. We are about the third committee that is going away. So just ensure that you speak to those people and they don't forget us. Okay. Mr. Zomo, Mr. Zomo, and Zamisa, who is going to take us through the monitoring and evaluation?
Take you through the report of the monitoring evaluation. And if you check us in, I'm not sure if we'll do it page by page or paragraph by paragraph, or I can just read through.
Just read paragraph by paragraph. We do introduction. From introduction, you go to the mandate and so forth and so forth.
Okay. The report reads as follows. Having considered the strategic plan and the budget vote, 6, Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, the Standing Committee on Appropriations report as follows. Introduction. The mandate of the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, herein after referred to as the department, was derived from Section 85, Subsection 2C of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, which states that the President exercises his executive authority together with the other members of the Cabinet by coordinating the functions of the state, departments, and administration. The department was promulgated in January 2010 in line with Section 85, Section 2C of the Constitution. As from 1 April 2011, the department was assigned Vote 6 after being removed from Vote 1, the President. In terms of Section 10, Section 1C of the Money Bills Amendment Procedures and Related Matters Act, No. 9 of 2009, the relevant members of Cabinet must table updated strategic plans for each department, public entity, or institution, which must be referred to the relevant committee for consideration and report. The strategic plan of the department, including the National Youth Development Agency, was referred on 7 March 2012 to the Standing Committee on Appropriations, herein after referred to as the Committee for Consideration and Reporting. That's the end of the introduction.
Members, any comments?
Fine.
Okay. But just for me, two things. The monitoring and evaluation are part of the president. Am I right? Now, I know that paragraph 2, for instance, says as from April 1, 2011. If they are part of the president, and they say that they were removed from vote one, or if you think they were removed from vote one,
yes, sir.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But the second thing is the what is
something that we have considered. We considered the strike plan or the annual performance plan or both. Because if it is both, maybe we should then include the annual performance plan, because I think that's where the focus was on the annual performance plan. Okay, yeah, I see you want to comment.
Yeah, Chair, my understanding is that we're considering and reporting on both, because the strat plan is a 5-year plan which is subject to review through the annual performance plan. So, for me, I think we take the input that we must include in the strategy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Page 2, number 2, mandate of the department. The department has the following mandates: to facilitate development of plans or delivery agreements for the cross-cutting priorities or outcomes of government, and monitor and evaluate the implementation of these plans. 2, to assist the president to put in place performance agreements for each minister. 3, to provide support to the president and deputy president on cabinet memorandum. 4, to monitor the performance of individual national and provincial government departments and municipalities. 5, to monitor frontline service delivery. 6, to carry out evaluations. 7, to promote good monitoring and evaluation practices in government, and to produce government-wide monitoring and evaluation frameworks. Moreover, there is an additional mandate of managing the presidential hotline and evaluation. The purpose of the transfer of the function was to give effect to the focus of government on monitoring and evaluation by promoting interface between government and citizens. Therefore, a revised strategic plan has been tabled in 2012, which includes the additional mandate of managing the presidential hotline and evaluation. Input from the Department, internal auditors, and the Auditor General of South Africa. The refinement of output indicators, as well as the focus on evaluation. Because I think the other stakeholders comes in in the spectrum of the role that they play, which is oversight. But in terms of the state plan, for them to refine the state plan, they must make sure that they get people from the internal auditors who audit the state plan, from AG who audit the state plan as well, and from the and include those new mandates. I think that was the whole point of reviewing the state plan. Paragraph 3 chart deals with the overview of Budget Board 6 for the 2012-2013 financial year. Budget Board 6 is divided into four funded programs that seek to achieve its money, namely administration, outcomes, monitoring and evaluation systems, coordination and support, and the public sector oversight. The budget allocation for the department for the 2012-2013 financial year and the medium-term expenditure framework is depicted in Table 1 below. Table 1, we've tried to reflect all programs and their allocations. From appropriation for 2012-2013, and then we split that appropriation into economic classifications, which is a current payment, transfer and subsidies, and payment for capital assets. Then obviously you've got your two outer years, which is 2013-2014, 2014-2015. But for 2012-2013, we have captured the overall allocation and economic classifications, so that the committee can have an understanding at least of where does the majority of their budget goes into.
Okay. I think I found a rule. Monitor. Right. Okay.
I see paragraph 4.
It deals with the overall budgeting and program allocation. It is important to note that the budget of the department has increased from 106 million in 2011-2012 to 174.2 million in 2012-2013 financial year. This was mainly driven by the projected increase of spending. It must be an S. Yes, Chair. It must be an S, Chair. Sorry for that. Of spending on consultants. The department makes use of consultants mainly to conduct evaluations of government performance. This is normally done in order to ensure that there is independent opinion in the evaluation process of the government departments. This is also done to take advantage of the capacity and expertise of evaluation in the process in the private sector, and to ensure that there is proper, efficient, and effective evaluation process. Page 4, the allocated budget is dominated by current payments without transfers and subsidies. The payment for capital assets, which is CAPEX, only accounts for 13.5 million of the total budget. The administration program obtained the highest portion of the budget, which is 59.8 million. There must be an R there. 9.8 million rand. This is due to the fact that the program has to provide strategic and effective support to the leadership. It is a key program in making sure that the department functions effectively. This is followed by the public sector oversight program, where an amount of 57.8 million has been allocated for the same period. The purpose of this program is to conduct institutional performance monitoring and frontline service delivery monitoring.
Thanks, Chair. On the third line, the fourth word is that spending and not pending.
Spending.
Yeah. And then I think they also mentioned something that they were also using consultants because they hadn't already established their organogram yet, because the department is still evolving, so they weren't sure if they were wanting to hire in expertise into the department at the moment, or they were waiting to see how the department evolved before they put an organogram in place that they would need to be able to pull with the relevant expertise.
just repeat the last one?
Alright. On the paragraph on page 4, at the top of the page, it starts speaking about the administration program obtained the highest portion of the budget, blah, blah, blah. But then just underneath, you've got 4.1 administration.
Hmm.
And then it goes to the last sentence on that same paragraph. This is followed by the public sector oversight program, blah, blah, which is responsible for blah, blah, blah. But we speak of 4.1 administration and we speak later 4.3 public oversight. So it's not a big deal. It's just to split those things underneath where they should be located.
just on the question of consultants, that is dealt with more comprehensively on page 7 and 8 of this report. We specifically, the committee expressed concern about the fact that they're using consultants to the extent that they're using them, and that they should be building their own expertise as far as they're concerned.
Thank you. Pinando, you want to comment on this proposal or comment?
No, Chair, I think a Honorable Sunil's input is spot on. We can just split that paragraph into those different programs, because obviously, we're still going to repeat the same thing on programs. So the program, that paragraph was not in fact supposed to be there. We take the responsibility.
I thought that this was just an introductory program to say this is how the programs go. Ne? But then later you go to the details of each introduction. I thought that there was bound to be that a repetition sometimes, because as introduction, you say the thing that I want to talk about, and then you're not going into detail. But I think that what is you correct me. I thought that what this paragraph is trying to highlight is just how the budget is structured.
Yeah.
Saying mainly the bulk of the budget is on administration, then it's followed by public sector, without saying then follow the what you call it, the others, but it's trying to highlight where the what you call I thought that it was fine for the introduction. I'm not sure what the other people's what you call comment, but I thought that it was in order. I don't know if Comrade Snell, you hear what I'm saying. Comrade Snell?
On page 4, the first line, in what budget?
You want to press that?
Thank you, sir. Page 4, the first line, in bracket 59.8. If that are not important, that identifies around.
Sorry.
Oh, they just want 59.8 million.
In
I was asking whether that R was not important, that they should insert it. Or it
well, no,
yeah, no, you're quite right, because sometimes it looks like I thought it's a percentage actually.
I indicated to members that we need to insert R and to identify it correctly. Yes. That is not important. Yes. Even the S chair of pending on page 3, I also corrected that. Yes.
Yeah. Now that's why even in my introduction, I did indicate that there was a mistake. It was done under pressure. So.
Thank you, Chairperson. In the last paragraph, I see you also referred to spelling in at the last paragraph, page 4, second line, annual performance. The annual should be a small letter. And then what it actually says in that last paragraph, it just the third bullet, and the second bullet, and the first bullet on 412, they refer to you know, certain controls and quarterly reports, and then it re-emphasizes the outputs outlined in this program include development of federal strategic plans, annual performance, quarterly and annual reports, and these will be developed according to national guidelines. Part of the outputs in this program includes the development of risk management. If you refer to part of the outputs, rather than refer to nothing of all of the outputs, but only to a part, serves no purpose. And then it repeats quarterly reports. It was just said two sentences above. And then also the target date was to get this approved by March 2012. I don't think it's appropriate even for that change to be there. That whole last paragraph can be scrapped.
Now, I hear what you're saying, but what we our approach was that let's deal, because we're getting this report for the first time, let's just deal with it paragraph by paragraph. We'll note what you say when we get to that. We just dealt with four, introduction on four. Now we're going to 4.1. Maybe you can just deal with the whole of 4.1.
Before I get to 4.1, Chair, I did not get the resolution of the committee about the paragraph above that one, in terms of whether do we, are we going to split it or it's going to remain there, because as you were saying, that it was meant to show the trends of the allocation of budget in terms of which program constitutes major allocation, followed by which. So then the question is it the priority program for the department?
No, we agreed with that.
We agreed with that.
No, we agreed with that, that it will remain.
Keep moving.
Okay. 4.1, administration program 1. This program is allocated 59.8 million for 2012-2013 financial year. When compared to the last financial year, the allocation has increased from 13.6 million to 59.8 million. The majority of this budget is earmarked for information technology and corporate and financial services. The program is responsible for providing strategic management administration support to the Director General and the Department. 4.1.2, strategic objectives of the Department, to provide effective leadership based on the value. There's a repetition.
On the value again.
Yes, we're taking out the only first on the value, we remain with one on the value.
Value.
Values. So it will read as follows: to provide effective leadership based on the values of the department and good corporate governance principles, to establish and communicate internal policies and procedures, and to exercise oversight responsibility regarding financial and performance reporting compliance and related internal controls. Then the outputs outlined in this program include development of credible strategic plans, annual performance plan, quarterly and annual reports, and these will be developed according to National Treasury guidelines. Part of the output in this program includes the development of risk management policy, strategy, and quarterly reports. The targeted date was to get this approved in March 2012.
I would just say the second last line there includes the development of a risk management policy.
That is which line is that?
Second last line, Chair. Of A risk management.
Yeah. Okay. The point that Dr. was raising, I didn't catch it properly.
Chairperson, quarterly reports, it has been mentioned two times, you know, it's a reputation. Just two things above, they refer to annual and quarterly reports, and then again to quarterly reports.
Okay. I can see. Other than them, the first one. Annual performance, quarterly report, and but just to be clear, this quarterly report, we're talking about the quarterly report of this department.
Yes, sir.
Well, okay. Yes, okay, but you see what Dr. Van Vick is saying,
eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
The chairperson of the annual performance, I think there's a comma, annual should be a small letter, and strategy also at the bottom. Yes, not the capital, but the small.
Yeah. please wait.
So are we moving to page 5?
Page 5, 4.2. Outcome monitoring and evaluation, which is program 2. This program is allocated 37.5 million for 2012-2013 financial year. This shows an increase from 24.7 million to 37.5 million in the previous financial year. Outcome support has received 23.6 million, followed by the evaluation and research allocated 10.4 million. 4.2.1, strategic objectives of the program. The program is responsible for coordinating government's strategic agenda through the development of the performance agreements between the president and the ministers, facilitation of the development of plans or delivery agreements for priority outcomes, monitoring and evaluation of the implementation of delivery agreements. 2. The program also facilitates the planning related to 12 outcomes which have been prioritized by supporting the outcome coordinating departments to produce the results-based plans or delivery agreements for each outcome. 3. The program also independently monitors and evaluates progress with the achievement of the outcome. 4. The program also assists the president to monitor performance of individual ministers against their performance agreements. 6. The program also supports the president and deputy president and the ministers and in the presidency. And the ministers in the presidency with advice, including pressing notes on cabinet submissions. 7. The evaluation role of the department is located in this program. This includes providing technical support on evaluation and to ensure that evaluation findings are implemented. Next paragraph. The output outlined by the department includes the development and monitoring of delivery agreements for all 12 outcomes adopted by relevant implementing forums on 31st March for each year. In 2012-2013, these agreements will be reviewed and revised where necessary by the implementing forum supported by the department. Another performance indicator in this program includes the submission of quarterly monitoring reports on each outcome to the cabinet committees. The target is to submit at least 4 quarterly monitoring reports to cabinet by 2012-2013 and in the NTF. Part of the outputs in this program includes the publishing of evaluation reports on government policies, plans, program and projects. This is targeted to be approved by cabinet by December 2012 and in the NTF. The department also intends to achieve 100% of the evaluations managed by Evaluation Steering Committee, which DPME is a member.
You can take off your phone as well.
That's optional.
Option.
Now, just the last line of the top of page 60 of the first paragraph there. It says the department also intends to achieve 100% of the evaluations managed by the, the Evaluation Steering Committee, of which DPME is a member.
Thank you, Honorable Sir. Honorable Member, from page 5, are you fine?
Yes.
Do I take that? All these points were taken as they are from the annual performance plan or a strategic plan. So sometimes I feel like there's some repetition, I don't know.
Chair, where we are speaking about targets, we must make sure that we get a correct reference for the time frame. So some of them were taken as they are from the strategic plan to give a correct reference. So that the committee continuously can monitor these things, whether they are done on the time frame that was outlined in the state plan or not.
Finally, uses in any case.
Okay, on the last paragraph on page 5, no? The output outlined by the department includes development and monitoring of the delivery agreements. is it for all outcomes or on all outcomes? It's not on all outcomes. Adopted by relevant implementing forum, I think it's by the 31st of March, for this year. Rather than on. No, sir.
Not sure where you are.
On page 5, the sentence says the output outlined by the department includes the development and monitoring of delivery agreements. I'm saying that it says for all the 12 outcomes. Is it for all or on all the 12 outcomes? Adopted, sorry?
Four, I think, is correct, isn't it? No.
Okay. Adopted by a relevant implementing forum by the 31st. I think it's by the 31st of
By.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Monitoring and evaluation.
Which one? Which page?
First line, page 6.
Page 6. What does it say?
Programs.
Oh, program, yes. Yeah. Do you see that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, 4.3,
which is monitoring and evaluation systems coordinating and support program 3. This program has received 19.0 million for 2012-2013 financial year. This has increased from last financial year from 10.7 million to 19 million. This allocation is dominated by monitoring and evaluation data for the program. 4.3.1, strategic objectives of the program. The program is responsible for coordinating and supporting an integrated government-wide performance monitoring and evaluation system through policy development and capacity building. In addition, main aim of this program is to improve data access, data coverage, data quality, and data analysis across government.
They start with this program has received. You know, it's an object. The program can't receive. It should say that 19 million was allocated, or you know, to program.
This program was allocated 19 million.
Something, but you can't say received. You know, it's not a. It's an object. It's not.
Don't necessarily allocate it.
Okay, we'll comment that that's a line to finish. Thank you very much.
Bullet number 2, it is also responsible for creating policy platforms for the monitoring and evaluation systems and building monitoring and evaluation capacity across government. Bullet number 3, it is also responsible for supporting data improvement in GPME and across government. The output in this program include the improved monitoring and evaluation systems in national and provincial departments. The performance indicator for these outputs will be the percentage of national and provincial departments which have carried out performance assessments. (NPAT), which stands for Management Performance Assessment Tool, for consecutive years. In 2012-2013, in the medium-term expenditure framework, the department is going to use 50% as a target for 2013-2014 and 2014-2015. Further to that, the committee was concerned about the translation of targets into percentages instead of actual figures in the annual performance plan and strategic plan, as this was not in line with the framework or guidelines of the APPs and strategic plans.
know whether the APP should describe it, because it sounds like something which you can get on your iPad apps or on your cell phone. So you can just maybe not use the acronym. Annual performance plan.
Another
the
one that you're talking about?
The last sentence, the last line there on page 6. Apps.
Apps. Wow.
Now, I think there's nothing wrong with that, but the thing is, it should be in the not small letter. Capital letter, you know. Because even the other annual performance plan, annual and performance are in the capital letter, but plan is in the small letter. It's supposed to be, all of it's supposed to be in the capital letter. I don't know if maybe in order for if I could have your attention, I think that if we want to, we're going to use maybe annual performance plan more and more going up. Maybe want to use it for the first time, then next week in the paragraph, you just bracket the your APP so that then you're free.
The second last sentence is that the actual figures in the annual performance plans, which should be with an S, and then in brackets put APPs in capital letters.
That's correct,
yeah. And then in the last sentence also put the APP in capitals.
In the capital letters, yeah.
We've got that.
Which one?
Page 6, last.
But also just generally some consistency. Sometimes with the strategic plan, just the second paragraph from the bottom, so the strategic plan is in the capital, but the last sentence plan is in the small letter. Mm-hmm. So let's just have some consistency.
For me, in the MTF, the department is going to use 15% as a target for 13, 14, and 14, 15. A target of what? Just so that it's clear that someone needs to start. Unless I'm not reading it properly.
I think over and above that, I'm not sure it's 50%. I know that we had some discussions with the or what was it, NYCA, when we're talking about this percentage, 50% of what, 1% of what?
It was the department. It was the DPME. It was the DPME, it was not NYCA.
It was DPME, yeah, where we were saying, no, if you're saying using percentage, tell us, percentage of what? So that ourselves, we can't write a report that we don't understand, you know. So if here, is your question, Honorable, now saying 50% of what?
Yeah, 50% of whatever. I don't know what it is.
Do you know the 50%?
Chair, I was also asking the same question to the department after the session, after their briefing.
Yeah.
I asked them to clarify to me what informs these percentages, because the percentage is supposed to be derived from a certain number of items. Now, if there is no actual number, and the APP is very clear. The APP says when you outline your targets, you must outline them in figures. Then you can put percentages, but they must be figures. So,
the problem is the department doesn't have.
I see your next sentence clarifies what you say. The committee is concerned about percentages.
Yes.
Not clear what you call it. I think on this one, we need to clarify. Otherwise, if it is not clarified, we can't have it in the report, something that ourselves, if we ask, we can't tell what is 50%, 50% of what. I think we need to know. Maybe let's just flag it to follow up. You know. That's my suggestion, honestly, if you find it.
Minister, can you do us a favor so long? Just quickly raise this with the department. I hope by the time we come to the end, we have the understand 50% of one.
That's it. Yeah, that's the problem. They don't know of what.
It's gonna be system for us to put something that we don't know.
No, we just had a small caucus with my colleague, but I had raised them with the department, so we can deal with it when we go back to the office. But we've noted it.
But now the fear is that we don't want to accept the report from where the city club is
going. Okay. Page 7.
Page 7, 4.4. Public sector oversight program 4. Program 4 received a 57.8 million budget allocation for the 2012-2013 financial year. This amount has increased from 27.2 million in the 2011-2012 financial year. But the sentence is not complete, but we'll correct it. 4.4.1 strategic objective of the program. First bullet says to monitor the compliance and quality of management practices in all national and provincial departments on an annual basis. Bullet 2 says the on-site monitoring of the quality of frontline service delivery at 260 sites over the MTF and the report on the findings. Bullet number 3, to develop the presidential hotline as an effective monitoring and evaluation tool to strengthen government-wide citizen-based monitoring. But before Chair, you come in, can I indicate that the very first sentence, or the second sentence, that speaks about the increase from 27.2 million of the budget is incomplete. So we are going to.
Say to two.
Yes,
so
two. Yeah, we are going to.
Have you got in the schedule? Have you got in the schedule?
Okay.
But you need to add the figure there, Chair.
Yes.
And the other figure up there, the blank figure should be added.
No, 57.8.
Two.
So it has to be
257.8.
Yes,
two. It's 257.8.
Yes.
257.8.
Yes.
Okay. So it's
that one.
Okay.
Because the allocation is increased from 27.2 million, which was the last year's allocation, to 57.8 million, which is this year's allocation. Just wanted to report that.
Small thing, but
yes. Tell me, honorable members, we have comments. You know, generally, where do we put these comments? Are we going to put them later, mm-hmm. or are we putting at the end of each paragraph? For instance, we said to them, if you're taking administration, we said to them, we raised the question that administration was the biggest, took the biggest chunk of the budget when the department is supposed to have its core function on monitoring and evaluation. But I know that that has to do with the way they budget. They don't, but there's no uniformity in terms of budgeting for administration. Now, but I think that we did raise it with them that it's not reflecting properly if administration is going to have take the biggest chunk of the budget. And where you think that the core, instead of the core program having that. So I'm just saying one comment that was raised. I think there were many other comments, but the question that I'm raising is, where do we raise them? Do we raise them here, or we deal with that when we deal, for instance, with the findings?
Chair, the way I look at the report, most of the comments that were made by the committee are dealt with in from paragraph 5, which is the deliberations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's go to paragraph 5.
Paragraph 5, deliberations. The committee expressed concern at the projected increase of expenditure on consultants and professional fees, which has increased from 4.7 million in 2011-2012 financial year to 12.2 in the 2012-2013 financial year. Part of the 12.2 million includes the following allocations: 5 million to support evaluations under outcomes monitoring evaluation, 2.7 million on the development of information computing and technology systems, ICT, the S should be a capital letter for systems, 1.3 million rand of supporting evaluations, 3.3 million rand under public sector oversight to support institutional performance and frontline service delivery monitoring, and 1.5 million rand for outsourced internal audit function. The amount allocated to consultants and professional fees will increase to 20 million will increase to 20 million rand at the end of the MTF 2014-2015 financial year. Reference was made to the hiring of service providers to assist the evaluation, and concern was expressed since that was one of the core functions of the department. The committee stated that the department needed to build its own capacity and expertise in that regard and not rely on service providers. The department responded that it was page 8. It was international best practice to include external people to be part of the evaluation of performance, since it made the outcomes of the process more credible. It was stated that the Human Science Research Council was used to assist the department this first evaluation, which was on early childhood development. The point was made that 8 evaluations would be conducted during the 2012-2013 financial year. The committee sought clarity on whether the outsourcing of the department's internal audit function was feasible and its impact on the auditor general's outcome at the end of the financial year. The department reported that an assessment was made in that regard, and the outcome was that it would be more cost effective to outsource the internal audit function since the size of the institution was too small. The committee noted that the monitoring function of the department was more focused on the national and provincial government departments. Concerns were expressed that there was no sufficient monitoring of municipalities, to which the department concurred and also stated that it needed more capacity to deal with the matter. The point was made that additional funding would be requested from the National Treasurer in order to address the matter. The committee made reference to the presidential hotline, which accounted for a 32.5 million rand increases in the budgetary allocation under Program 4. For the 2012-2013 financial year and over the remainder of the MTF. Concerns were expressed at the human resource and information technological capacity of the department to effectively deal with this added mileage. The department responded that it would double the number of call center operators in order to address the call shorting challenges. Service providers were appointed to deal with the information technology and telecommunications aspect of the presidential hotline. It was further reported that 122,489 cases have been lodged from September 29, 2009 to 31 January 2012, and that the call responsiveness has improved from 39% in November 2009 to 80% in January 2012. That's the end of paragraph 5, Chair.
Members, your comments are on page 7. Deliberations.
Anyway, can the
increase.
Page 3, sorry. Page 3. You make a statement there to say that the increase of plus minus 68 odd million of the budget is mainly driven by the increase in consultants. That the increase in consultants is plus minus 7 million, okay, for the financial year. So to me, it can't really be the major cost driver in the increase of the budget for the department for the year. Maybe we just need to look at it. And then we've got the 12-point, back now to, sorry, page 7 and 6. Part of the 12.2 million includes the following allocations, okay, then 5.5, 2.7, blah, 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 blah. That comes, I think, 13.8. So if someone reads this, maybe there's a different understanding that was put together when the report was compiled, that these figures that come to the 13.8, how they tie up to the 12.2. Well, that says part of the 12.2 includes the following. So we just need clarity on that.
Are you able to assist with that?
Chair, we can probably look at it after the meeting, but we wanted to give the breakdown also as they gave us on the annual performance plan of that 12.2 million. But we've also noted that it becomes more than 12.2 million.
These whole amounts, they are meant for the consultants. It's a breakdown. It's supposed to be a breakdown of the 12.2. Is that what we say?
Yes, Chair. They were meant for the outsourcing, which is your consultant, but also not necessarily all of them. That's what I'm saying. We may clarify it when. You look at it outside the meeting.
Okay. Let's flag it then. The one of those issues that needs. But the 12.2 million, does it reflect from the report? It's in the report?
Yes, sure.
Okay. And the breakdown of that.
Yes,
okay. Any other comments?
Thank you.
of the consultant. You were linking it to page 3, right? Just want to be sure that if you were saying if then the cost rise, I mean if the cost of the consultant is 12.2 million, it wouldn't be correct for us to raise as a cost rise, as a serious cost rise.
Not as the major cost rise. Yeah, because there must be other things that have been driving at this. So I don't know what the analysis of that is. Maybe it is additional staff that's been budgeted for to be able to assist the department in growing, etc., etc. But the 4 or 5 million additional for consultants this financial year certainly isn't driving that budget increase of plus minus 60 odd million. Or the major driver of it.
Also includes the internal audit function, which is outsourced.
Now, I think that Honourable is correct to say from the budget of 174 or 175, I understand the point that you're coming from. Mr. Domo?
I think, sir, when you go back, we'll be able to further elaborate on that, because part of the issues that they've indicated in the annual performance plan, which is part of the cost drivers or the increase drivers, the additional mandates, that since there were some additional mandates from the president, they had to add more money also. So we just need to elaborate on that one on page 3, not to say it's only the consultants, because consultants, they are part also of the increases in the budget, but it's not limited to that. Also, additional mandates were also part of the increase in the budget.
Yeah, we still mandate such as the introduction of the outline.
Yes.
Transfer of the outline.
Of the outline and evaluation function. Yes.
Now, I think the point that Honorable Snell is trying to raise is that we had a concern with how can I put it? I mean, the way they use the consultant. You know, and to us, it looked like during the input there was a lot of consultancy work, maybe that we have not been included in this 12.2 million. Let alone the fact that now, when you come this breakdown, it's more than 12.2. I think somehow there is some information that. Is not here, because if somebody reads our report and our report raises concern about the usage of a consultant, and you find that if you take that amount in a percentage form, it may hardly be 2%. I mean 2% of that. So there might be a distance somehow. I think. Somehow other things are not properly reflected, so that everybody would understand that, look, I mean, if we have a department, but the point that we normally say to the department is that you have a department, this department, but you continue to use consultants. So why are you having a department? Why are you employing people then if you're going to use more consultants? I think that's the point that Honorable Snell is trying to draw our attention to. Okay, let's go to the findings.
Glory Chair, before we go to findings, let me indicate that when you go back with the report, we will try and single out all the consultant budgets with regard to 12.2 million. Because we might have included something that is not part of the consultant because they've included it in their annual performance plan under that paragraph of 12.2 million. So ours is to go back and verify what makes the 12.2 million in terms of the consultants, then take out that does not necessarily belong there.
I'm thanks because I think they are going to do it because I was looking at the ENE and asking myself whether they hadn't included some of the issues that are mentioned, like contractors and other issues which might fall and our field. So because there's no time, I can't just isolate them, and I think it's their duty to do it.
Paragraph 7, Chair, reads as follows. Having considered the strategic plan and budget vote 6 of the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, the Standing Committee on Appropriations identified the following findings. The amount budgeted for in respect of consultants and professional fees in the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation has increased from 4.7 million, rand in 2011-2012 financial year to 12.2 million rand.
There must be a million rand there.
In the 2012-2013 financial year, and it further increased to 20 million rand in 2014-2015 financial year.
There's something
else.
Of NTF.
Of 7.2, the results bill was going to be submitted and passed by Parliament in March 2015. The concern was that since this kind of bill was going to give the department more power to execute its mandate, there was a need to expedite the process of the bill.
Chair, I've just redrafted the paragraph 7.2 to read as follows. I said the department proposes the submission of a results bill to Parliament to be passed only in March 2015. Full stop. And then the committee expressed concern about the late proposed submission of the bill, as the bill would give the department more powers to execute its mandate. And it is therefore a need to expedite the submission of the bill.
Okay. What is the opinion of the members on the committee? You want to say
thanks to I think we all realize that this bill will assist the department dramatically in achieving its objectives. And I think maybe we must just make that statement like that. See, if we're speaking about being passed in March 2015, or whatever, that's, we're working on an assumption that the state law advisors gave the department of 18 months to, from introduction to passing. So I just think that we note that they are planning on introducing a bill to improve their efficiency and effectiveness, and we recommend that that process be expedited. And just leave it like that.
Unfortunately, in their own documentation, it's March 25, 2015. It's not something we're sucking out of thin air.
It's correct that it's 2015. But maybe it gets introduced and then it gets kicked out again. So it could be 2020. I mean, we don't. It could be like the info bill kind of thing. You don't know when it's going to be adopted. So that's what I'm saying. They anticipated being adopted by then, but I don't know if we even need to put it in.
But when do they anticipate to introduce it? Because I think that the point that we were saying is that the concern that was raised by the committee here is that of
that when you do the section 100 in some provinces say, oh, hold on, this is not your responsibility, this is our responsibility. And the department is telling us that for now is dependent on the cooperation of a lot of people, you know. In other words, it's dependent on the cooperation. Does not have the authority to do this thing. So I think we're moving from that premise when we say this must be expedited now, sooner than what you call it. I think that we have a common understanding of what we want to achieve. It's just the wording of it, that's all. Yes.
Probably, Chair, it would be better to do it this way. Because when I'm reading the sentence and the way members are deliberating on it, they've got two parts. The first part is a finding, which is correct to be under finding. Then the second part, where the committee is saying this process should be expedited, it's a recommendation. Should be set tight in the section of the recommendation. So I would suggest, I'll request Chairperson that probably we start with the finding first. Yeah, which is the first part of the issue. We deal with the finding and then reflect it. We then move to the recommendation.
Okay. Your final
thought?
But with number one is the amount budgeted. Again, aren't we saying there, the message that we're trying to convey, aren't we saying that we as a committee, we are concerned about the increase? I don't know if that increase is really a large one. I think it goes back to the point that Honorable was already earlier, that consultants and professional fees are being what we call it increased, but not maybe at the same pace the department is building its capacity to be able to do this work. So, I don't know if that makes sense. I can repeat what I'm saying.
I'm saying that the number one, I'm not trying to avoid using the figures, because the figures don't make much of the what you call it, sense for us to raise it as a concern. But I'm saying that maybe what we could say is that the committee is concerned about the reliance of the department on consultants, than building its own what you call it capacity.
I agree with you on that, but of course, through all these reports, we have a very strong principal view on consultants. So I think I agree with you.
Yeah, thank you. Now I'll come to you,
and when we spoke to them about them, they told that it's best to use auditing
external
than internal stuff that they have, based on the fact that from their international studies they realized that it was cheaper to use external auditors. Maybe we didn't ask how, because permanent staff, I think, will always be there and sometimes not be doing anything, I don't know. But they told us that it was cost effective, that's the word they used. So maybe we didn't probe deeper into understanding, but they said it also gives us the ability to use people from outside. but they couldn't use their internal. It's cheaper. They felt it was best to use external auditors than the staff that they have. And they told us about this international studies and told us that it was cost effective. So we didn't ask her how was it cost effective. Because we, as a new department, we don't know how often do they audit. Is it going to be a once-off thing that doesn't need to pay a person every month, a person a certain amount of money? That's, I think we didn't go as far as that into asking them why. But they told us they did international studies. They realized that independent auditors were more credible because it is what they just said that independent auditors have. And they said it was cost effective. The word cost effective they use. So we don't know how often. Maybe our workshop with them will enlighten us better, because it was the first time we met them and we are supposed to debate on the 16th.
Yes, I think Honorable Mashiko is right. You know, it's something that we also observed with Pilelani, because it appeared to us that the nature of the department, to a certain extent or a greater extent, requires the use of independent consultants in respect of the issue of the credibility and the independence of their findings. In fact, we even remember that when we were conducting some studies, comparative analysis, we observed that even other countries, you know, they are doing all the good things, but then they tend to rely more on consultants. At first, we did not understand why they use consultants. Then after the department explained to us, we then realized that, okay, maybe it's the nature of the department. Maybe they operate more or less like the Auditor General. So, I don't know. I think that's the nature of the department. Also, the issue of cost effectiveness also. So, but then, I remember when the committee probed further, it appeared also as if, even though the department requires the need of the use of consultants, but it seems as if they are depending on them more. So maybe in the findings, we could cast it maybe by starting, maybe by saying, while acknowledging the need for consultants due to the nature of the department, however the committee is concerned, and so on and so forth. So I was thinking along those lines.
I think you're right. For the purposes of writing the sentence. But for the issue of the internal auditing, I'm not sure what the National Trust has got a guideline in terms of how this internal auditing should. No, that is not necessarily the issue. They have an internal audit, but theirs is outsourced. But now the issue is, do they have another department, whether it's a staff department or what inside that deals with the same thing, maybe, so that we don't have people there who are sitting there as supposed to be in internal audit who do not have the work to do because the work is outside. I know that the municipalities do that because they're small budgets, but well, it was the first time I was hearing that the national department also does outsource this work. But if as members, if as a committee, we fight with that, it's fine. But I think we just need to understand more this issue. We just need to understand more the advantages and disadvantages of doing both, you know. Because, you
know, the concern, I think Honorable Harold Bloom is correct to say that the concern is the principle of ending up outsourcing everything in government, which seems to be this department. Because when you raise the issue of their own capacity, they say, no, it's fine. We think we're fine. When you think that they're not fine, and they are dependent on what? Because they want to use consultants. That's why they say, no, we're fine with the kind of stuff we have and the pace at which we are increasing our services, expanding our HR.
I just wanted to indicate that this issue has got two pillars. It's internal audit, which is outsourced to perform the internal audit function of the department itself. Then you also speak about now the function of the department to evaluate and assess other departments. That's when this outsourcing comes into play of the external now evaluators, assessors, which are credible, which brings the expertise that the department does not have, which also serve as a cost effective measure as well, as Meshefo was saying. And they've indicated that it's a best practice for other countries as well. They've learned from other countries that for you to be cost effective, you need not necessarily to employ more people in your department, because if you think about the nature of the department, as I was saying, the mandate is to deal with all the national, provincial, and also municipalities as well. So you would need, the staff of the department will go as far as equivalent to the national treasury. You would need to have a department similar to a national treasury, some kind of. But when you look at the Auditor General do the auditing across the board, using mainly external organizations. Now, if you are going to employ people, they are going to one in the labor market. We know that our labor market is very complex. Okay.
No, it's fine. No,
you may laugh, but I think it's very necessary that we raise this thing here. You know that the DG mentioned to us is complex overseas. This is overseas in this country. And I may not be honest, but the point is, I think the study of distance is very important. Perhaps it's more important than others. But I just want to mention it here, off the record. I think that is very important.
No. I was the first one to mention that we need to understand this work. Not only the workshop with them, but I think the study tour is important for us to go where to visit in some of the what you call the areas. Whether they have visited, others they have not visited, I think we'll have to identify that. And I think because this work is upon us, it's a bit urgent that we do that to just get to understand how other people operate. You know, the research is fine. The research is fine, but I think that it's better sometimes to do the on-site, what you call it, the inspection, to so that we can understand as well.
Remember,
the 15
minister
was
telling us that
the that one, I'm sure we're all agreed. Honourable members, now we have dealt with the findings. Are there any other findings that are not included there that we think that perhaps could be included? Honourable members?
we've acted as a portfolio committee. Now, in the money bill, at this particular stage, and I said, when do the, do we actually believe that this 174 odd million currently allocated to this, to this department is sufficient to undertake the work that it's supposed to undertake? And it's not something that we really interrogated them on. They seem to be happy the way they incrementally kind of going forward. But at this incremental rate, and also then over the MTF, when will they actually be able to do what they're supposed to do?
Get the disparity.
Yeah, you know, to go deep into this thing, the whole intergovernmental relations, blah, blah, blah. So, I think that's something that we might need to look at when we have that workshop with them. Because this baseline that they've created for themselves, no, that doesn't have it. I don't know how that baseline all of a sudden is just going to leap up like that. I can't see it. But anyway, it's a point I want to raise.
And I think the point that you raise is an important point that we raise with them, that with the capacity that they have, if they think that they're going to achieve this work. Unless we don't understand how they should be doing, you know, for now, they are relying on the cooperation of these, but all these reports that they are relying on, how are they going to be able to study all those reports and combine the reports? They say part of their work is to, I think the report indicates that is to present to cabinet quarterly report of monitoring and evaluation and ensuring that those 12 outcomes, not only those 12 outcomes, is the performance of each, what you call the cabinet minister. It's ensuring that they are done. So it's clear that I don't think that it's wrong for us to say our finding is that perhaps that this the capacity of the department may not be sufficient to execute this work. I think the main thing, honorable members, that really wants us to do everything that we're talking about, the workshop, the study talk, that perhaps didn't come out clear, is exactly, if you read the study, I mean this annual performance plan, they want to do so many things, you know, within a short space of time. They are not saying, this annual performance plan and strat plan is not saying they are going to phase in their work over time. It's not saying that. In which case, we would say, if you're going to be phasing in your work, what is it that tomorrow you're going to be doing? That's why I wanted the annual performance plan, so that 2012, 2013, what is it that you're going to do? And with what they gave us, on this report, they want to do, they are supposed to be doing, which the report says that they have done, is to do your government review report by February. We didn't raise that question. Has that been done? You know, they write achieve. This is so, Honorable Blom, you're quite, to me, it's quite right, because they say, for instance, the report that they give to cabinet, which report can we see as that report? How do you work if we don't know the report that they are giving to cabinet? Yes, because they're supposed to be doing oversight. How do you know that those reports, and how do you compare them with the work of the oversight that we're supposed to be doing in what they are doing if we don't have access to those reports? There's a lot that we want to correct. We really need to clarify. But maybe we have gone too much. Lamont, you wanted to say something?
No, Chair, I just wanted to indicate on that point of capacity that in the APP,
they've highlighted that they've got about 195 post-establishments, which is approved. But they've managed to fill about 130 positions. And they are saying this year, taking into account the allocations that they received, they are going to fill about 40 posts, which is going to make it 170.
Wow.
Then by 2013, 2014, they will then be able to fill about 190 posts. So I'm just throwing this check that while we're discussing the issue of capacity, we also need to take into account the figures that they are proposing in the annual fitness plan of their post-establishment as well. That maybe the work that you are saying they're going to do mostly will be done by consultants. Hence, there's also an increase in the budget of consultants. Because we believe that most of this work, which is your performance assessment, your evaluation, needs highly expertise people, highly skilled people, which might be expensive to be employed by government at some point. So.
Okay. So that's the question that I want to raise with the findings that we have here on the report. Are we happy?
What is that? Performance monitoring.
Sorry?
We've got the one additional recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah. But if I may add on a member, the issue of the, for me, I'm really concerned about the administration budget being produced. And the monetary evaluation is small. I would wish that if we could add one of that everyone could find it, that the bulk of the project is in the administration, not in what we see as core function of the department. But on recommendation, is there something that you would want to recommend?
There is the one additional recommendation which he is now going to speak.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
What was
the same? Yeah, that's the bow.
That's the bow.
About the
PDA. That's the PDA. The recommendation says it must be expedited sooner. It must be probably submitted to Parliament sooner than 2015.
We then have to make sure that date here, which is the state of the introduction of the bill be expedited.
I agree. Any other one? I think, Honorable Snell, before you. Where you going?
Before you're having a smoke break.
Okay. You spoke, for instance, about the capacity. And we agree with you that because the point, personally, I agree with that. The department is the capacity of the department sufficient to execute this work. I can't comment on that.
You agree? Yeah, the problem is, even if we, you know, I hear what Mr. Dlomo was saying, that even if they fill all their positions tomorrow, they will still not be able to perform their mandate, because if they start moving it to municipalities, they're going to need triple what they have now and what they propose having. So, you know, we can bring it in, but it must then just be a general statement to see, you know, the committee is concerned about the capacity of the department to perform the function to the fullest extent, or something of that nature.
Are we fine with that?
I'm sure Darren did capture. Yeah.
Okay. Nice about the capacity. That's fine. Are we adopting this
not so sure about the budget, but you know, I'll check that with my caucus, but for the rest it's okay.
Okay, so I'll be leaving for tomorrow just to finalize the report.
Chair, what I would suggest is that we do it tomorrow morning, but that just underline any alterations and additions that we've done now,
yeah, sure.
So that it's easy just to pick up those and approve it.
Okay.
Take 10 minutes and do it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the monetary evaluation. So now we're moving to Comrade Swamp, what you call
my favorite.
Maybe before I start, I'll just like to give a context to this one. When we did this one, Chair, we observed that the NYDA is kind of a bit different from the other departments because it is an entity. For instance, they receive a grant from government, but they also get their own other sources of revenue elsewhere. So in that way, for instance, when you look at Section 3 of the report, where we report on the budget, there are two components of the budget because we wanted to check how much they are planning to do with the budget that they receive from the presidency, and then how much they are planning to do with the overall budget, including the other sources of the budget. And then I don't know if you'll be able to consider to adopt this one today, Chairperson, because there is another piece of information that we had requested from the agency yesterday, and then they gave us at a very late stage, so we couldn't put it in the report today. But then we'll put it later. We have all the copies. I'm sure Darren did circulate this to the members. It was very critical, but I'll talk to it, or I'll talk about it during the reading of the report. But also importantly, I would like to invite our colleagues from the committee section to participate, since they are primarily responsible for the crafting of the report. For instance, they have got their own protocol in terms of how to write, to report, in terms of tenses and so on and so forth. We are not familiar with that, so please, you are welcome to participate.
When you just given a report now. No,
it's true, Chairperson, they do. They are primarily responsible for the crafting, and then a particular protocol. Ours is to come in terms of technical.
Okay.
Don't explain yourself before the time.
Okay, I don't worry about it. Well, in respect of the introduction, I'll read it. The National Youth Development Agency, herein after referred to as the NYDA, was launched on 16 June 2009. That was the Youth Day by the President of the Republic of South Africa, His Excellency Jacob Geleleyi Zuma. The NYDA came about as a result of the merger of the National Youth Commission, NYC, and the Msobomvu Youth Fund. There, Msobomvu is supposed to be Msobomvu with an O. That happened in 2007, and subsequently, the National Youth Development Agency Act number 58 of 2008. In terms of reporting, the NYDA reported to government through the Office of the President. Furthermore, the NYDA was established to address youth development issues at national, provincial, and local government level. In summary, the mandate of the NYDA was as follows: to lobby and advocate for integration and mainstreaming. In summary, the mandate of the NYDA was as follows: to lobby and advocate for integration and mainstreaming of youth development in all spheres of government, private sector, and civil society. To initiate, implement, facilitate, and coordinate youth development programs. To monitor and evaluate youth development intervention across the board. And to mobilize youth for active participation in civil society engagement. The strategic outcomes of the NYDA in order to fulfill its mandates as articulated above will be discussed here under. Section 2, which
there
is...
There should be a bullet point is to organize expensive parties.
Chairperson, if members look at the introduction of the performance monitoring evaluation, the third paragraph, in terms of section 10(1)(c) of the Moneyverse Amendment Procedures and Related Matters Act, relevant members of cabinet must table updated strategic plan, blah blah blah. I think we should add that paragraph in here in the introduction of this one. And we'll just state that the strategic plan of the NYDA was deferred to committee on 7 March 2012.
Okay, Chapter 3, I'm into section 2 now, the strategic outcomes of the NYDA. Well, the strategic plan and annual performance plan of the NYDA were informed by the following four strategic outcomes. First, improve the sustainable livelihood opportunities for young people in South Africa. And this is to provide a comprehensive suite of interventions that will lead to decent employment, skills development, education, and entrepreneurship to all young people between ages 14 to 35. Number two, enhance the enabling environment that promotes youth development. That has to do with fostering a mainstreamed, evidence-based, integrated, and results-oriented youth development approach through relevant research, policy development, capacity building, regulation, monitoring and evaluation, communication and advisory sessions. Number three, enhance the sustainable social capital for young people in South Africa. That has to do with promoting and maximizing initiatives for the active participation of young people through social cohesion, sports and recreation, health and well-being, information provision, community participation, activism for improved social conditions for young people in South Africa. Number four, mainstreamed accountability, prudent, efficient center for youth development. That has to do with efficient and effective utilization of resources through the provision of judicious governance, technology and systems, business operation systems, human capital, financial management systems that adhere to legislative requirements for public-funded entities. In pursuing the above-mentioned four strategic outcomes, the NYDA will use 10 programs over the next 5 years. The 10 programs and the strategic objectives related thereto will be listed here under. First, economic participation. This program will have four strategic objectives, which are as follows: to enhance the participation of young people in the economy aimed at entrepreneurship participation, job creation, funding opportunities, skills development, and business and funding opportunities. An amount of 170,000 young entrepreneurs will be assisted to start or sustain their businesses over the next 5 years.
Can't be an amount.
The number.
Just start off by saying 170,000. Okay.
Mm.
Will be assisted.
170,000. Sure. Then to provide financing support to young entrepreneurs. 15,000 youth entrepreneurs will access funding and business opportunities valued at 500 million will be sourced over the next 5 years.
will.
Will. To facilitate and provide employment opportunities to 6,500 young people over the next 5 years. And then with respect to education and skills development programs, this program will have two strategic objectives, which are as follows. To facilitate and implement education opportunities.
Sorry. I think that this program is different differently from the other one. Maybe here we could
just deal page by page. I suggest that you stop here and then we'll deal with education and skills development.
Okay.
Any comments on paragraph 2?
Just the first bullet point here, where it refers to a comprehensive suite of interventions. Suite is something you go to watch rugby in. It's a box. But I would suggest we use the word range of interventions.
Yes, but I know that if you use
MIA,
you use the suite, the word.
Yeah, but they wear suits, but I would. First bullet.
Thank you. But,
do
you want to come and sit here? Okay.
Chair, we share some information sometimes. Chair, it will be difficult for us if I sit that side and say sitting here.
Okay.
Maybe you should share the information with us too, Chair.
Yeah. any other comments about members? On the stage, yeah? Page 1, page 2. I think the other thing is, I don't know whether it's your computer. Sometimes when it feels like putting a capital letter, it does.
No, you have to check your words after.
Yes, but that's right, to ensure that you don't put too many capital letters. Especially sustainable, all sustainable on page 1 and on page 2. The word sustainable is on capital letter. All right.
Sustainable.
All right. How is his name sustainable?
Yeah, if it's sustainable, it's not the capital.
Okay, and I mean, all the other words that are not supposed to be capital letter, like on page 2, economic participation. I don't know whether it's a heading of a program, but I guess it's not necessarily a heading of a program, unless it's a heading of a program. But let's continue then.
Economic participation. The program has four strategic objectives, but the bullets are three.
Yeah, actually four. I'm sure Karen can help, but they're actually four. Economic participation, and then there's one bullet straight afterwards. I think it's not, it's because it's not put underneath that economic participation head.
Important to give these programs there are 10 program strategic objectives, right? It's fine. You may continue there.
Yeah, but before I continue, I must concede the chairperson, Honorable Mashego, is right. Under economic participation, there are supposed to be 4 strategic objectives, but then the listed ones are 3. Yeah, I concede that. I'm sure we are all captured in that. We have to fix that. And then, under education and skills development, this program will have 2 strategic objectives, which are as follows. To facilitate and implement education opportunities in order to improve the quality of education, the quality of education attainment for the youth. An amount of 20,050 learners will be placed in education opportunities over the next 5 years. And then to facilitate...
It's not an amount. An amount is something like money.
The last one is to facilitate and implement live professional and technical skills attainment programs through various interventions by the NYDA skills development program. An amount of 107.
Not the amount.
It's now here.
He's
reading what he has written, but I think that what you're saying, that just correct this amount.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
Thank you.
That they would expect some amounts of 20 rand and 15 rand to pay.
That's correct.
Having 17,010 youth will be enrolled in various training programs over the next 5 years. And then under policy research and development, this program consists of 3 strategic objectives, which are as follows. The first one is to create and produce youth development information and knowledge that informs the public sector, private sector, and civil society in developing policy, planning, implementation, and review of all of their programs related to the government priorities. Number 2, to make the above-mentioned youth information and knowledge available and accessible. Number 3, which is the last one, and this one is to facilitate youth development work as a recognized profession. The next one is partnership and stakeholder management. This program has 1 strategic objective, which is to lobby key stakeholders and institutions in the public, private, and civil society sectors, including international donor agencies, to work with and support youth development initiatives. The next one is communication and advisory services. This program consists of 2 strategic objectives, which are as follows. To provide career guidance service sessions to 2.4 million youth over the 5 period. And then the next one is national youth service and social cohesion. This program has 1 strategic objective, which is to build a culture of community service amongst the youth, at the same time providing young people with the opportunity of learning skills and culture of working while serving their communities. 125 young people will be targeted and enrolled in 25 projects will be registered in all 9 provinces of the country in the next 5 years. And it's sports, recreation, and art.
This is not 125. Last
sticker
that is written there.
Hey.
12,500.
Oh. You don't know. Oh, yeah,
you're
right. And then?
I'm sorry.
Under sports, recreation, and arts, the strategic objective of this program is to promote youth participation in sports, arts, and culture activities. And 20,000 youth will be targeted to participate in NYDA programs in all 9 provinces over the next 5 year period. And then it's health and well-being.
Actually, let's just stick to this page first.
Okay, thank you.
Page 3. I don't see any references. Maybe I've got the wrong, you know, it's under education and skills development. Don't they do a program on assisting people to rewrite the matric exams, which we don't refer to here? And I think we should, because we only had a 50% pass rate.
It's not the amount that is confusing.
That's the amount that's confusing me.
I'm sure you took that,
noted
that,
yes.
On page 3 now. We have agreed that we'll correct the amount, and bring them to human beings.
And take out all the amounts.
But under communication and advisory services, this program consists of two strategic objectives.
Sorry? He's got one there.
But he's got one, yeah. Maybe you should find then the second the communication and advisory services. So this program is two. Okay, if any comments will come back to you, you have collected 125,000, eh? Yes.
We have collected it, eh? 125,000. Okay. No, it's fine. Let's go to page 4. But if members would want to collect anything, they can still do it. Page 4, please.
Okay, Chapas, now I'm dealing with the last two programs.
Are you done with health and well-being?
Now you've got to start there.
Okay, let me start with health and well-being. Well, the strategic objective of this program is to increase awareness of healthy lifestyles that promote good health practices amongst the youth, including dangers of substance abuse, unprotected sex, nutrition, sexual transmitted disease, and the impact of HIV and AIDS. An amount of 30,000 youth will be provided with information and educational material on healthy lifestyles. Now I've canceled this amount. And then under governance and administration, the strategic objective related to this program is efficient and effective utilization of resources through provision of judicious governance, technology and systems, business operation systems, human capital, financial management systems that adhere to the relevant legislative requirements for public-funded entities. Over the five-year period, 289 NYDA access points will be established. And then the last one, that is the National Youth Fund. The strategic objective related to this program is to mobilize and leverage financial contributions from third parties to implement entrepreneurship and skills development programs.
Any comments from page 3? What did we say? So we are on page 4. Oh, not page 3. Page 4, starting with health and well-being. Are we happy with that? Governance and administration. National Youth Funds. Something that maybe we need to think about is my understanding is that we need to, we are a portfolio committee on NYDA, and also if they receive funds, I think those funds we need to also to monitor them, because they will have to be audited anyway to ensure that they are utilized for the purposes that they were donated or asked for. So I'm not sure whether I mean, is that an observation? Maybe we can put it amongst the fine. The fine? Okay. Any other comments? No? Okay, may proceed.
Yes, Chair, I think this is the most important part, which is the budget now of the NYDA. Beforehand, I think the first sentence should not be the NYDA fell under. Maybe the NYDA is under both one, not fair. And then, as I said earlier, the NYDA, their budget, because they are an entity, they've got this 376 million which they received from both one, which is the president. And then they have other sources of income, of which during their presentation they mentioned it's 4.2 million, that is the projected income. 4.2 million, that is the interest income that they are expecting. And then capital repayment amounting to 34.1 million. So when we did this, we thought, what is the best way of really capturing all of this, because the committee does not have control over their projected outcome, their projected income. You know, it may not be this amount, it may be up, it may be down, but then we are sure of this one, and this is the one that we are appropriating. This is the 376 million. So therefore, we decided to come up with two sections under the budget section. The one focusing on this 376 million that they receive under the president, that we are sure of, even during our monitoring process, we'll be able to say this is what we got, this is where the money went. And then the other section, we said it should be the consolidated budget under 3.2, which then includes the other sources of income. Then I think the committee in this one will give us guidance whether maybe this is the best way of doing it, because it was our first time doing it. It's more trial and error. So we will rely on the committee's guidance whether this is okay, or maybe we should just change it and put it differently. But I'll just go through it and then the committee will advise.
You're talking
about phase 2, no? Yes, yeah. In fact, I'm talking about the whole of this section, section 3, whether we should have separated section point 1 and section point 2, or we should have just combined it. But I'll just go through, maybe the members will understand. And then under section 3.1, that is the budget allocation from the presidency, that is that 376 million. Well, the NYDA is under vote 1, which is the presidency. And as shown in table 1, it was allocated a budget of 376 million for 2012-13. In terms of the medium-term expenditure estimate, the NYDA's budget increased by 21 million. To 396.7 million in 2013-14, and subsequently by 23 million to 419.6 million in the 2014-15 financial year. Also of note was the decline of the NYDA's budget from 385.9 million to 326 million. From the 2011-12 financial year to the 2012-13 financial year. I think all that is just shown in the table below. The current allocation is 376 million. In the previous year, which was 2011-2012, they got 385.9 million and they now have declined. I remember during deliberation, that was the major issue. Why is their budget declining while issues of the youth are increasingly becoming very important. And then the other section now is the consolidated budget, which includes other sources of income. So here we say, in addition to the NYDA's other projected sources of income, which constituted 38.3 million, that is, when you combine interest income, that is 4.2 million plus capital repayment, they make 38.3 million. And then of the total, these other sources of income, they constitute 9.3%. That is, when we combine the grant that they receive from the president and the other sources of income, the component, which is the other sources of income, only constitute 9.3%. 1% of the overall budget. Then the total of funds in 14.4 million was spread across two economic classifications. That means they do not have transfers and subsidies. So they have only two economic classifications, that is current payments with 406.5 million or 98.1%. In this case, we see that current payments constitute the highest chunk of the department's budget, so that is 98.1%. And then payments for capital assets constitutes only 7.8 million or 1.9%. In terms of then the six programs, the budget was spread as shown in table 2 below. And then we have all these programs. But then the problem that we had here is that we know when the budgets are combined with the other projected sources of income, that how much goes to administration, how much goes to economic classification. But in terms of this amount that we are certain about, this 376 million that they will be getting from the president, we could not see how much goes where, because they did not give us that information. And the main problem is because they are not a vote per se. They are a program within vote one, that is the president. So in the EME, they do not show the budget allocation in terms of program. So we requested that information from them because we thought the committee would like to know that, because when we monitor them during the EME monitoring process, you will not really know, you know, what's happening, because the other projected sources of income, you know, they will be very uncertain. It may go down, go up, you know. So they will be able to dodge us. So we said, okay, we know that they are getting this amount from the president. We still want to know how much goes to administration, how much goes to economic development, how much goes to where, also in terms of economic classification. And that's the information that they provided us late yesterday, I think during the evening when we had left the office. So it's not part of the report. We'll insert it on the report after this engagement. So that is the budget in terms of the consolidated budget, including other sources of income. And then under section one, it's the budget in terms of the money that they'll be getting from the president.
Okay.
You know, the it says the total budget, you know, that's with other sources of income, is 414.4 million. But when you go to the table, we don't get to 414 million. Then you get to 406 million. Where's the difference between those two? And, you know, just... We're referring to a total budget of 414 million, and then we split them up. He's waiting for some information, I understand that. But we won't get to 414 million. We can't get to 406 million.
Now we're printing
up. Yeah. And then just a general observation, Chair. The income which they say is 38.3 million, which is interest income, and the other one is 34 million for capital repayments. They've got no hope of getting that ever. So I don't know where they're going to get the 414 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you would also at the same content where the Honourable Swart is referring to on page 5, you know, if you put the table together, I want to refer also to the same table as Honourable Swart. If you put the table with figures, you have to make sure that the total reflects the mark. If you count the figures, you don't come to the total at the mark. Even your decimal commas should be exactly correct. It is not correct. So you should make sure that it counts to the total figures at the bottom. And you have to rectify that. And then you also made an observation that we need to monitor the figures and the allocations of the youth development. But actually, it is the responsibility of the accounting officer in the office of the president. We need to monitor, you know, the the exercise of the presidency of that vote one, and not necessarily every budget figure or allocation of the different programs of the different divisions in that program. So you know, we must not take over the functions of the accounting officers in bulk. You know, we actually must concentrate on the presidency and not, you know, try to do the work of that specific work, that portfolio committee of that specific accounting officer. But I just mentioned it here.
We've been made the portfolio committee,
yeah,
whether we like it or not.
And you know, to pick up things like this should be rectified right from the beginning before the report came to this committee.
Another member, there's a comment. Any comments? No, I think that I think two things, honourable members. One, the issue of the figures. I think that if we add this figure that is not part outside the budget, we'll get this inconsistency. Because you take from what they give you, and now we'll get this inconsistency. I think I appreciate the challenge that perhaps the researchers had, and which is our challenge of saying exactly. They talk about 414 million, yet they have been allocated 1,076. I think they are supposed to budget on 376 million. That amount that they can account for that they are given by the state. You know. Anything outside that will get it from the report. It will come from the report anyway. But it's going to be difficult for us to make them to account on the 38 million. We're saying 38 million, hold on, so. It's going to be difficult to make them to account on 38 million that we're not sure whether nobody is sure, even themselves. But on 376, then we can make them account for 376. The other monies, as and when they receive them, they can inform us, and we will be able to ensure with the Auditor General that those monies are utilized properly, as they are public money, you know. But on 376, they will make them account. But I think the issue is that I'm not saying that if they receive this money, they can pocket them. No, this money must still come to their coffers. They will be. We will monitor once they report to us that we have received this amount. We can monitor that. But I think for purposes of accounting to Parliament, it's 376 for this budget. It's 376 million that is budgeted for. Honourable Sir, let me just allow Honourable Snell, then you can come.
Chair, I agree with the point that you raised. The difficulty will come though.
Yeah.
When you don't know where they've allocated that 38 to say that they're going to be able, with a certain program, they're going to be able to achieve X. Now, if they don't show us where they've allocated that 38 to, they can then we can say, well, why didn't you achieve that? No, we could only bring in 15 million, for example. So that's where it can get a bit tricky. But the other thing is too, that basically that income is derived from previous years' appropriation to themselves, because it's interest income that's coming in. So I do understand what you're saying, but I think we need someone maybe just to give us some clarity on that and how we oversight that. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. How would we actually oversight that? But it's almost like a retained income.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Honourable Snell, because basically, you know, they say there's money's coming in, but the major portion of it, 34 million of it, is from capital repayment. if we don't monitor as a portfolio committee that part, you know, then there's something wrong with us as a monitoring, you know, as the portfolio committee, because we've got to control that. We've got to make sure that when they say they've got 34 million, they must also be able to explain to us why they're not getting it, or why they're getting more, or, you know, they're doing well, you know, and then we can praise them. But when they get that money, even if it's half of what they say they're going to get, it's got to be subjected to the Auditor General's, you know, scrutiny, and also the portfolio committee's scrutiny. Otherwise, you know, they can do with the money, but they can have another big party. So, you know, we've got to, unfortunately, for us scrutinize that.
Or we must become part of the party.
No, I agree, but I think
that
the point is that the challenge that is raised by the researchers in writing the report is that Parliament is allocated 376. But the report says we couldn't have more than 376. Now, the issue is, how do we take this forward? Do we assume that they are allocated 414 million or 76 million, with expecting the other income to be later to be added? I think the advice that Honorable Snell and Honorable Swart are giving is fine, that maybe let's ask Federal to assist us here in terms of how do we deal with this. Yes, but on
our software. So, you know, the way in which the researchers have put this in splitting it, I think is good. But what we might say in the findings is that, you know, the committee is concerned about the fact that the money, the 38 million, might not be raised. And
I'm sorry, is this 38 million from repayment?
Capital repayment and interest. That it might not be raised. And therefore, you know, the budget might not be, you know, as indicated by NIDA, might not be totally correct.
Yeah, I think that's why then we need to be clear as to what is, they are allocated 376.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other income, the extra, we all agree on that. One cent comes in, we'll monitor. It is public money. But for now, let's account for 376 million. Which makes your what you call it difficult to, because that's why, for instance, you had difficulty to make the on your table 14 and 14, you have got 4 and 16. You want to, okay.
Yes, Chair, because even the way in which you presented on the table, there's a footnote there which explains why it is 406.5 million, whereas it's supposed to be 414.3 million.
What is the footnote there?
It says it is important to note that in terms of the 2012 annual performance plan, the budget for capital payments is not included in the budget for program. This is the way in which they presented the information on their APP. It is as if payments for capital assets are not part of the program. They excluded them. So it became very dicey. I think it's a loophole on their APP that I will admit we could not pick up before our engagement with them. Because our belief is that all economic classifications are part and parcel of programs. So if they exclude the payment for capital assets from programs, we don't understand.
I think that maybe we should make that correction here in the report. But we can't have different figures. But I think we will still want to call it seek advice from National Treasury in terms of how do we, how much do we account? They say for 14, they are allocated 376. But you know, the point that Honorable Dr. Panvik is raising, maybe is a point that is we need to pack. It is going to distract us. The point that we are doing oversight over the president.
So if you want to then debate the other part or exactly, I think we should pass that. Let's just focus on this report for now. I propose, please. Let's go to paragraph 4. I thought it would be done by 12:30, you know. You know, now the conservation is
The committee sought clarity in respect of the recovery rates of loans that were made to young entrepreneurs. Concerns were expressed that the NYDA could not provide the committee with a figure in that regard. The NYDA reported that it had intensified its efforts to recoup the loans that were made to young entrepreneurs, and that 20 people with the highest outstanding amounts were targeted through utilizing legal services. This process has yielded good results thus far, and the NYDA was predicting to recoup $34 million during the 2012-2013 financial year. With regard to the NYDA's budget allocation for the administration program, concerns were expressed that the high personnel cost, which constituted more than 40% of the total allocation. The budget allocated to compensation of employees for the 2012-13 financial year was as follows. Board of directors got $4.3 million, which constitutes 2%. Provincial boards got $13.7 million, constituting 8%. NYDA staff got $155.8 million, which constituted 90%, which is the largest chunk. The committee requested that the NYDA submit a breakdown of the budget allocation of the administration program. Reference was made to the bad publicity that the NYDA was getting from the media, especially related to the high salaries that the board members and staff were receiving and the World Festival of Youth and Students that was held in South Africa from 18th to the 1st of December 2010. It was stated that.
Sorry, is that backwards? 13 to 1, or was it 1 to 13, or 13 November to 1?
Yeah, if it is 13,
yes,
thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. It was stated that the NYDA needed to do more to communicate to the services that it was offering to youth, throughout South Africa. For instance, the committee expressed concerns that it took a long period of time for the NYDA to launch a television advertisement to publicize and inform the public about its mandate and programs. Moreover, the committee expressed the serious concern that the youth of South Africa was not in dialogue around the issue which affected them, especially at local government level. The NYDA reported that there were 144 access points throughout the country and that these included 14 full service branches. It was agreed that the NYDA should submit a breakdown of all programs and projects that it supported at provincial and municipal level. The committee stated that it could not evaluate the performance of the NYDA given the fact that the past performances have not been presented to the committee. To this end, it was agreed that a report thereon be provided to the committee.
Thank you.
Honourable
members, any comments?
That, you know,
purposes. Having considered the strategic plan and the budget of the NYT of the Youth Development Agency, the Committee on Appropriations identified the following findings. First finding, the personnel cost under administration program of the National Youth Development Agency were more than 40% of the total budgetary allocation. This was a cause for concern. Finding number two, there was a decrease in the proposed budget of the NYDA while the number of programs has increased in the agency. And number three, the lack of dialogue amongst the youth of South Africa regarding the issues affecting them is an indication of poor communication between the agency and the youth and young people at large. The last one, the National Youth Development Agency experienced challenges with regard to the recouping of loans that were made to young entrepreneurs. The exact amount owing could not be provided to the committee during the briefing.
Thank you.
Honorable members, any comments? Yes.
For me, on 5.3, I don't know if we can make the statement that the lack of, say, a continued dialogue amongst the youth is an indication of poor communication. Might be an indication of maybe poor planning, lack of budget, something like that, but I don't think we can make that statement as good because we didn't establish that.
I think that I also agree because it is not the mandate of the NYTA to do that. They have given us what their mandate is, but that one is not necessarily the money. So maybe we can what you call remove that one. But I know that it's taken from the fact that one member did raise that it should contribute towards that. If it does, as a general, what you call a part of the general work, it's fine. But it's not something that we need to measure its success or failure.
I'm just wondering at 5.4 whether we could maybe add to the end of that sentence at the end of the briefing and then say, which raises doubts with regard to the ability of NIDA to raise the budgeted amount of 34 million as indicated in the consolidated budget. Because you see, Chair, when we get to the recommendations, we've decided, and I think then we should put it in the recommendations. We can leave that out. But then we should say that National Treasury be approached to, you know, to explain the income and how that should be dealt with.
But you know, by the way, how much are they giving out? Are we able to were we able to establish that the amount that they had? I think it was in the airport that they had given out to entrepreneurs, to their entrepreneurs. What I'm trying to think is whether how much of that one percentage would be for leaders constitute. And the fact that my understanding of this 34 million is not only for 2012, not only be coming from 2012 to 2013 budget. The amount they will recover even from those outstanding ones is the amount.
It doesn't matter, Chief, it's their current consolidated budget. They say they're going to get it for this year.
What, any other comments?
extent, although they're lending money out, it's not the recovery might not necessarily be complete. It's not the right. They might not be maximizing their recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to what percentage are they recovering, and then to what percentage are they factoring in that recovery into their budget? Because that 34 is based on, say, 100% recovery, and only recovering 40%, it's going to blow this whole budget anyway.
Now, that's what I'm saying. I don't know, but I think that in the report, maybe in their breakdown, there was I think there was something that was saying how much were they lending. I don't know, but even if we have the amount that they are lending, the report also says that we didn't get the annual what we call a report we of the past year, so that from exactly where do they pay the 34 million? I think the question that Honorable Swart is raising that we worry about, because we should be able to know that of that amount, how much is a loan, how much a grant of that. That is expected, but we don't have that information, you know. If we didn't, what we call it, interrogate that. You want to help Mr. Zuni?
No, just another issue that we also had is that they also fundraise, you know, but that kind of income is not reflected here. The only projected income that is reflected is capital repayment and interest income. But the other one that they are projecting to fundraise is not captured in here. So maybe that's another issue to deliberate on going forward.
From Lotel.
Yeah, I think you're making an important point, which is we're supposed to include in the findings that they fundraise. I mean, that fundraising outside of what we call it, the budget. And,
but even that should be subject to the Auditor General and the regulations.
No, you said it there quite correctly. We should monitor it, how much is the fundraising. But I think that we should make that point that they are, it's not only the budget that goes to them, or the 376 or whatever, but they will get other, what you call it, money. That now, I mean, for now, they haven't said to us they are expecting this kind of donation. That's one, yes. You want to add on,
Pasha? I was just going to refer to what was already mentioned, that we think we need, also need national treasure to come and assist us in this matter. And because the AG found their, gave them, and what is it? Unqualified, and it should also come and assist us in this on how to follow up these issues of their finances.
See, they're bragging about the fact that the unqualified audit report, but there was irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure. So you know, it's not totally unqualified.
But the other point that I would want to raise is, the very first finding. It's saying they are using more than 40% of their total budget on personal costs under the administration program of blah, blah, blah. It's more than 40%. I'm not sure, or we're not sure as to the entities of this nature, how much it is expended, how much are they expected to spend on personal costs. We don't have the benchmark, you know. because maybe that could be useful to make comparisons instead of comparisons. Maybe the time that we had within which, between the presentation and time we have, it's difficult to get that information, you know. Whether this 40% is high or, because if you take departments like education, health, which are more personnel orientated, there's a lot that is spent on compensation. I may be making comparison.
I think, Chair, this, the ENE classifies it under those public entities. If we can just get a no for national treasury, because we have problems with public entities. So if the transfer to NYDA is regarded as part, falls under that cluster, I think we need to have national treasury to come and assist us, because the money is transferred to them. As if I checked under the president, and that's what they said. If you can read it, then it is, we must look at it under public entities. So which means you all will also seek the assistance of whoever is more familiar with these public entities, where we can be assisted, maybe honestly by national treasury. But in the meantime, I think we have to do what is right in front of us about this report and come up with recommendations that will assist us. And I think they also form part of the workshop too, like the monitoring and evaluation.
Well, I think that you correct me. Okay, yeah, you correct me when you respond. I thought that when this matter was raised of the personal crop, and the way they responded, I thought that they were saying they are benchmarking against the entities of this nature.
What I wanted to probably indicate is that it would assist us probably to get from Treasurer whether there is any guideline that governs the entities, the earmarking of budgets to compensation for employees who then services KPEX. If there is some sort of guideline that is governing the entities. But also, what I want to point out is that we might not necessarily be good making a good comparison when we're comparing the department and the entity. Because remember that the entities have got the board of directors. Those guys are paying the salaries as well. But CEO, not a DG, is paying the salary, yes. And they've got benefits and so forth. So they are not necessarily guided by the Public Service Act, which guides the departments government. So we need to probably follow up to say what is the specific guideline that entities themselves, because when you look at all entities, most entities are paying, they are the most paying organizations in the public service, because they say they're competing with the private sector. So government creates them as a vehicle to actually attract the skills from the private sector and so forth and so forth. So there are many stories around. But what we need to do is to check the guideline. What does it say?
And if you're talking about NYDA, it's one of the first life
Thanks. In fact, maybe just as a writer, as what Peter said, you know, what we observed after working on this, I think is the feeling that is shared by members, that we felt that we just need a comprehensive workshop, you know, that will guide us in terms of the approach that we use when working with entities. Because it is now a different trajectory, you know. And if we do not get that one, we'll be tripping and falling along the way.
Okay. recommendations?
Okay, Chair, under recommendations, having considered the strategic plan of the National Youth Development Agency.
Now we see that one.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
What are we saying that NYDA needs to do?
Awesome.
Maybe we should add that tomorrow.
Okay.
Our members, yes, Gama?
Sir, before you close, I just wanted us to note that the finding about the capital, the budget, the allocation for capital payment, that the NYPA has treated payments for capital asset as a separate item from the economic classification, because the payment for capital is part of the economic classification. So if budget, its allocation is supposed to be included in the overall allocation for economic classification, so that when you spread them across the program, you then have them on the programs as well. But now, in this case, as Musa was saying, CAPEX are not in the programs. That's what we've discovered. But programs, you've only allocated payments for compensation for employees and goods and services only. When it comes to CAPEX are not in programs. So it means that each and every program for an NYDA does not have CAPEX budget.
No. So it's
included
that in your findings. So that when they get this report, they must pick that point up. Okay. Honourable members, I think that I guess that we have worked very hard this morning. We have adopted the report on monitoring and evaluation. I'm sure we will, I don't know if is likely to be a recommendation, but I suggest that we adopt it tomorrow morning, the NYDA one, rather than the case one to add any recommendations, we could do that. But I think that most of the work has been done. If not, we'll not have to necessarily scrap for recommendations that may not be for the work that you have done. Let me check this.